This option here, this option, choosing to say nothing to avoid saying anything offensive, hurtful or mean, is what I call the sports injury argument. This argument, which is much favoured by my wife, Mrs. Brindle, Anna, goes like this. The best way to avoid a sports injury is to never do any sport. The way she normally says it, normally when I have a sports injury, is like this. I've never had a sports injury because I've never done any sports. So the best way to avoid saying anything that might injure someone is to never say anything. Obviously, though, Anna may have a point about sports injuries. Saying nothing in response to our reading today from James's letter is actually a nonsense. Even though there may be some people that you know who you would wish would take a vow of silence. Not only is it nonsense, not only is it impractical, it's also not very biblical. Because saying stuff, speaking, is very biblical. For example, number one, words are not just sounds caused by the passing of air through our larynx. Words have real power. God created everything in the beginning by the power of the words that he spoke. Let there be. Without God speaking, there would be nothing. Number two, Moses was told by God to go and speak to Pharaoh and to tell him to let God's people go. Moses, who wasn't a great speaker, pleaded with God until he agreed that Aaron, Moses' younger brother, could do the talking. But all the same, someone had to go and speak to God, for God, to Pharaoh. Number three, the prophets. Think about the prophets and how much of the Old Testament are books that are written about the works of the prophets. The prophets, their job is literally to speak God's truth to the people around them. They wouldn't have existed unless, of course, some of them were able to maybe retrain as mime artists and sort of convey God's word in that way, possibly. It would take a long time. Number four, again and again, Jesus speaks with words of power and authority. So if we just look at the beginning of Mark's gospel, Mark 1:25, he casts out evil spirits from a man by the power of his spoken word. 2:5, he forgives and heals a paralytic man. 4:39, he calms a storm with his words. 5:41, he brings a dead child back to life with his words. In 7:34, he heals a deaf mute. All of his words spoken, all by the power of his words spoken out. And then there's the Bible itself, number five. The Bible itself is God speaking. John Stott wrote this about the Bible. Our claim as Christians is that God has revealed himself by speaking, that this divine speech has been written down and preserved for us in Scripture, and that Scripture is in fact God's word written, which is therefore true and reliable and has divine authority over us. So saying nothing isn't very practical, it isn't very reasonable, and it isn't a biblical option. But if, even after all that we've heard read from James's letter about the tongue, if we're going to still go around speaking with it, we need to be aware of the power of the words that we use, whether we say them, we post them on Facebook, or we tweet them. That last comment was for Donald Trump, just in case he listens to the download. Jesus used the words he spoke to create and build up rather than destroy. We humans who are created in God's image and we who follow Jesus need to use words that create and build up rather than words that destroy. Mother Teresa once said, "Words which do not give the light of Christ increase the darkness." The power of our words can actually destroy one's spirit, even stir up hatred and violence. We see that every day. On a national level, on an international level, and in our own homes. They not only exasperate wounds, but they inflict them directly. Of all the creatures on this planet, only humans have the ability to communicate through spoken word. The power to use words is a unique and powerful gift from God. It is a gift from God. James, in the opening lines of today's readings, speaks about teachers, saying that they will be judged more strictly. Why is that? Because the words of the teacher are heard by many. And whether we lead and therefore teach in our homes or in a church community or a country, the words of leaders more readily shape the character and the actions of that family, that community, or that country. Again, just in case Mr. Trump was listening. The writer of Proverbs tells us, the tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Are we using words to build up people or to destroy them? Are they filled with hate or love, bitterness or blessing, complaining or compliments, lust or love, victory or defeat? James, in his letter, compares the tongue to the rudder of a ship, saying that though ships are large, they are steered by a very small rudder wherever the pilot wants it to go. So the question is, as individuals and as a community that follows Christ, who is the pilot? Who is at the helm? Who is guiding our tongue and therefore directing our lives? Who is guiding my tongue and directing my life? You know, if I'm honest, most of the time it's just me. Especially when I'm tired, when I'm frustrated or annoyed or disappointed or feeling overwhelmed. Christ doesn't get a look in. It's just me. Some of the biggest regrets I have to do with the hurtful words that I have said, often to those people who are closest to me. I wish I could take those words back, but I simply can't. Conversely, some of the greatest joys have come from the encouraging words that I have heard from others speak to me. Our tongue reveals our heart. It reveals our bitterness, our volatility, our selfishness, our judgmental attitude, our hate, our self-righteousness, our hardness of heart, our hypocrisy, etc., etc. So our tongue does reveal our heart, but it also reveals our history, the life that we've experienced. Our tongue can also reveal the bitterness, the volatility, the selfishness, the judgmental attitudes, the hatefulness and the hard-heartedness that we have been exposed to, especially in our childhood. The truth is, if we hear crappy stuff said to us by people that should love us, people that are close to us, we tend to say crappy stuff to the people we should love. Conversely, our tongue can also reveal the love, the support, the encouragement, and the inspiration that we have been exposed to. Again, especially by those people that are close to us, and those words that we've heard in our childhood. The words we speak can often reveal the words spoken to us by those closest to us. So our tongues reveal our heart, but they also reveal our history and the things said to us. But our tongue can, if we allow God's love into our lives, reveal the healing, the forgiveness, the grace, and the love that we have received. If you, like me, feel a bit condemned by James's words about the tongue, and there is a part of you that really wants to speak words of life and love, that would really desire to be able to do that to those around you, a part of you that wants to be honest, calm, appropriate, and suitable in your speech in all situations, whilst at the same time there is a counterpart of you that knows it's hopeless even to try, because we've tried before. The answer is to stop trying to do it in your own strength and your own ability, because the work has already been done, and our trying will achieve very little. We, you and I, need to stop and be silent, to listen, to silence our tongue, and to hear God speak life and love into our hearts. As the years have gone by since I first became a Christian in my late teens, I increasingly recognize the need for times of silence, silent prayer that waits on God, silence to allow me to hear God speak to me afresh through the Bible, stillness of my own thoughts so I can encounter the Holy Spirit, times to sit and to reflect. And this is all really, really counterintuitive to me. I'm a chatterbox. I'm an external processor. Truth be told, I like the sound of my own voice a little bit. I'm a doer, not a sitter, who likes nothing more than the noise of music, chatting with others, and getting on with the job. But if the words we speak reveal to others the words that have been spoken to us, then we need to allow silence and space for God to speak his words of life and love into our lives. Truth is, if you hear words of life and love spoken to you, and you allow time and stillness for God's healing, his forgiveness, and his mercy to capture and inspire your heart, you tend to overflow with God's words of life and love for others. To give, you and I must first and must routinely receive. Are you giving God the time and space needed to work in you?